Boy, it's great to be here. Worth Baptist Church. What a great spirit in a church. I was telling over supper, Brother Gillett, that my wife had made the comment that if we're without a church, this is one she'd sure like to go to. And just a great church, great pastor, and great staff. I want to brag on Brother Sides over here. We were, somebody said the best way to flatter somebody is to imitate them. And we're imitating y'all. We made our gym floors exactly like y'all's. The same company, same installer, we found out, same color and everything. And we wanted to find out about how to keep it clean and good. And Brother Sides was gracious enough. He showed us how to do it. And so now we're getting the exact same cleaning machine. And so we're excited about that. But what a great church and great leadership, great heritage down through the years. And as you know, this church is a leader among independent Baptists in this area, and I'm just so thankful to be here. Kind of reminds me of when I first went to Cottondale. They asked me to come pray at a dedication of a state historical marker. And I got out there, and I was expecting a few people out in the field. That's where it was, out down a country road. And I got there, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of people there. There was a big podium, and I was up there, and there were several people there. And they were like reenacting the Civil War, back when you could do that without getting in trouble for it. And I sat next to a guy, and I said, "Man, I just feel like I know you, but I can't picture it." He said, "Well, I'm Jim Wright, Speaker of the House of Representatives." And I, whoa, I'm way out of my league. And so I kind of feel that way tonight, but I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be here. And it is great to be a Christian, isn't it? And I love that first song. I'd never heard that before. It's a joy to be a Christian. And it's a joy to be involved in church ministry. It's not always easy. Nothing in life worth doing is always easy. In fact, God said life is short and full of trouble. That's because we live in an old fallen world. And God has called upon us as Christians oftentimes to endure hardness. And that's the topic of that the Lord laid on my heart tonight. And our text is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look at a few other scriptures. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. And then verse number 3 will be our text this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's what we're about. That's our purpose. And then verse 3, "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Endure hardness as a good soldier. A week ago Sunday was the day before Veterans Day. And it's always our habit. I was almost amused listening to Brother Tyler give the announcements, because we have all of those same things pretty much going up. A communion service. We do our Sunday night and a Tuesday night Thanksgiving service and all those other things. But on Veterans Day, we invite every veteran there to come across and give their name, the branch they served in, and the dates they served, and then line up against the cross of the front. We had a good group this year. They were across the front and down one side of the auditorium, and everybody from the Korean War and the Vietnam War and some in Desert Storm and down through the years. And I've talked with a number of those men, and they've done some enduring hardness. One of our men shot, he's got PTSD, man. He was shot out of the sky twice during the Vietnam War in the Air Force and survived that. And to hear them tell all of those stories, and I'm thankful for them. I was never in the military, but I'm certainly thankful for those that are. But God says, as those men had to endure some hardness to be a good soldier for our country, we're called upon to be a soldier of the cross, a soldier of Jesus Christ, and we'll have to endure hardness. There's a song, I'm sure you sing it once in a while, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" One of the verses says, "Am I a soldier of the cross? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?" 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, if you'd glance at that verse just real quickly. Paul talking to Timothy as he would be involved in the ministry. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And then if you look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 1 and then verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." I guess this is my challenge to you tonight. Don't quit. When things get hard, just keep serving the Lord. Can I tell you, life is probably going to have a lot of hardness whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're serving God or not. And I'll tell you what. When I'm going through the hard times, I want to be as close to the Lord as I can be. Verse number 8 says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Now, it's good to get excited about being involved in the Lord's work. But I wondered, these soldiers, have you ever wondered what happened? I hear back when World War II started, Pearl Harbor happened. That was before my time, in case you're wondering. America got worked up, and massive amounts of people were excited about joining the military. And they said, "We're going to fight for our country." But can you imagine somebody that said, "I want to fight for our country, but I don't really like the military. I'm just going to go do it on my own." That wouldn't have worked very well, would it? And let me tell you, every once in a while says, "I just want to be a soldier of the cross, but you know, I just don't really like the church or organized religion because God's doing His work through the church. And I'm glad to be a part of it." In fact, when I first went to Cottondale, I was out visiting one day and somebody said, "You know, I love the Lord, but I just don't have much use for organized religion." And I was just, thank God, something popped in my mind. I said, "Well, come down to Cottondale. We're not too organized." But I'm glad to be a part of the church, a part of the army of the Lord through the church. There's hard things that happen in the ministry. I want to tell you a couple of stories. I've been at Cottondale 27 years. I love going to a new place because I can tell stories that you haven't heard too many times. But I remember when we had my 20th anniversary at the church. And the church always is so gracious and does such great things for us. And I would have never said it out loud, but I remember thinking in my mind, I think I've seen about everything now. You know, we've had babies die. We've had teenagers die. We've had hard, difficult things to face. And I said, well, hard things might happen, but at least I'm experienced now. I've been through things. Wasn't long before the Lord showed me some things. A couple of years after that, COVID came along. That was a new thing. I don't know how y'all did it here. Imagine about like us for 3 or 4 weeks there. It was me, the song leader, the youth director, and a piano player. And I just preached to empty seats. I said, yeah, that's no fun. I could see numbers, good numbers of people watching, but I couldn't tell they was watching. That was difficult. I was glad when Easter Sunday came. I think being out in the country, we got over COVID a little bit quicker than the city people did. But Easter came about a month in, and somebody said, "Can't we come to church? It's Easter. Can we just slip in and listen?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to run anybody off. If you show up, it'd be okay." And I think we had about 125 people show up, and that was kind of the end of staying home for COVID. And we did a little different for a good while. But man, there was a lot of hard things going through COVID and knowing what to do. And sometimes I'm sure every pastor went through it. Man, I want all the people here, but I don't want somebody to get sick and die. You know, what should you do? How should you do it? Then a couple of years ago, I gave a testimony at a preacher's rally here right after we went through that. But we went through something that I just couldn't imagine. One Wednesday night, we had a service about like that. We have a youth service like you have, children's service. And I was over in the gym a while after church was over. And Brother Philip, my associate youth director, said, "There's a first grade girl in my son Philip's class. She's missing. We're going to get some of the guys and go walk through pastures and try to find her." And I went home after a while, went to bed. I come up to church the next morning. I got a text right before I got there from Philip. Said, "Preacher, I didn't want to wake you up in the middle of the night, but our church is full of people. The dogs were searching, the helicopters were searching. They told all the people, go up and down the roads, but don't be out because the heat sensors will see you." And they said, let's meet down at the church parking lot. And you got to understand, we're not a big church, but we're not only the biggest church in the town, we're the biggest building in the town because we're like the only building in the town. And so they met on our parking lot. Philip opened up and got snacks and hot chocolate and coffee. Before long, the law enforcement was meeting there. And early that next morning, the emergency coordinator asked me, said, "Man, we got FBI coming in. We got Texas Rangers. We got DPS. We got everybody coming in. And the fire station where they are is not big enough. Can we use your building?" And I told her yes. She wrote me a great letter yesterday. She said, "I couldn't believe you just said yes." I said, "What did you think I was going to say? No." She said, "I thought you was going to say, I got to go talk to the board." But I couldn't imagine anybody not wanting to be a help. But I'll tell you, over that next 2 days, the family, of course, they're the first suspect. They wasn't involved at all. I could tell that right away. But they came up and they stayed in our gym. And we ministered to them. There was such sorrow there. Our sheriff was such a great guy through it all. But to hurry up and get through it, at the end of the second day, they found out what happened. A UPS guy had made a delivery, and he abducted her, and he killed her, and he threw her body out by a creek. And the sheriff came in and told me what happened. He said, "Pray with me." And I did. He said, "I got to tell that mama and daddy what happened." And the FBI people were over in the gym. And they got all the extended people, family together, and they told them what happened. One of our men, the one preaching for me tonight, Brother Kyle, that night he come over, he's just crying and shaking, said, "I can't handle it, preacher. I never saw so much sorrow in one place." You know, this happened the first day of December. That's a busy time of year. We had all kinds of things going on, supposed to be going on. But you know, all four of the local TV stations and a couple of the national TV stations came by and we got to talk to them about the Lord. They gave good stories on the network. Two of them sat at the back of our auditorium through the whole service. They asked if they could be in there. And I asked our security people, some of our law enforcement, they said, "Sure, let them come. Just tell them they can't move. They've got to sit there the whole service." And they did. I think it's Channel 8 and Channel 5. But some of the people in the community wanted to have a vigil. And I said, "What are we going to do?" And they said, "Well, we'll just all get together and we'll have candles and we'll let everybody come." And he said, "Would you do that?" And I prayed about it. And I talked to a couple of our men about it. And I said, "I'll do it if you'll let me do it all." And they said, "Great, that's what we'd want." We got five preachers in. We each gave the gospel. Her first grade teacher got up and spoke. The one that Brother Philip, my associate son, was in. And then the mama got up and spoke. And one of our men that run the dogs for the family got up and spoke. The sheriff's department said, we can't tell how many's here. They were lined up all the way to that corner store. They said somewhere probably around 5,000 people. Probably the biggest group that's ever been in Cottondale. And they got to get a clear presentation of the gospel. That was possibly the hardest thing I've ever been through. That second night I went up there, I just woke up about 1:30 and said, I ought to go down and see what's going on. I knew things were there, and I went down there, and our secretary, Ms. Nancy, was there. And she said there was nobody else from the church here, and I just felt like somebody needed to be here, and I was going to stay here until somebody else got here. That's one of the hardest things we've ever been through. But can I tell you? Every few weeks, somebody will come and say, we've been thinking about coming here because of what you did for Athena and her family. You know, sometimes God has to put us through hard things to do His work. There are some things that are hard, but I can tell you there's no greater joy than serving the Lord. I want to tell you real quick how I got called to preach. I did not get called to preach in church. I got called to preach at orientation at Weatherford College. We were having a revival at church at the York Avenue Baptist Church. Brother Phipps was our pastor. And I was starting college at Weatherford College. I was going to go there a year or two and then go to A&M and be an engineer because some tests said that's what I'd be good at. But I went to Weatherford College, and they said, you're starting college, and you've got some plans of what to do. Now, I don't know if this guy's a Christian or not, but he sure gave a Christian principle. He said, before you continue with your major, I want you to do this. Picture yourself on your deathbed and look back at your life and say, have I done anything with my life that made a difference? And God said, you need to be a preacher. Right there in Weatherford College in the fall of 1973, I don't remember who the guy was, but I'm thankful God spoke to my life. I went to work out of college up in Ponca City, Oklahoma, at a church where Bill Hardin was. He left right before I got there, and another pastor was there. He wanted me to still stay. But after a couple of years, it became apparent they couldn't afford two people there. And I took a job with an oil company. The problem with that job, it was a lot of fun, and I didn't know people got paid that much. It was tremendous pay. And I stayed there for 5 years. I got married. I had our first kid. And then the pastor of the church I went to said, I'd like you to come and be one of the assistant pastors and be the youth director and be the head of our high school and the Christian school. And I was so excited about that. And then he told me what they was going to pay. It was about 30% of what the oil company paid. I grew up poor, and I thought, I don't want my wife and my kids to grow up in poverty. And I was struggling with it. And I was praying over it. And I knew God wanted me to do it, but I was afraid to. And you know what got me over it? I thought of the joy of going to the church every day and being able to minister full time. And I look back at my life. And outside of getting saved and probably getting married, that's the greatest decision I ever made in my life, is to do what God called me to do. Because I tonight want to tell you, we've got to endure hardness, but there's joy in serving Jesus. I'm so glad I made that decision. It's hard, but it's worth it. I have no regrets. Serving God's the best thing you can do with your life. Do not be surprised, though, concerning the fiery trial. I want to tell you a story about one of the men in our church. His name's Tom. One thing about being in the ministry a long time, you see generations come around. My first pastorate was in a small country church between Bryson and Jacksboro called Mountain Home Baptist Church. It's where Frank Hefner is now. And we bought kind of like a shuttle bus, and my wife had her CDL, so she decided I'm going to be the bus driver. Now, Bryson's a little bitty school. It's different. There's one class of each grade, 15 or 20 kids, and on Wednesday afternoon, she would go around, stick her head in each classroom, and say, who wants to go to church tonight? And kids would raise their hand. Most public schools, you can't do that, but Bryson at that time was different. And one of the little kids that came, and I didn't realize that till recently, his name was Tom. And he was at church one day, he said, and he had some gum, and he was tired of it, and he wanted to spit it out, and he couldn't find a trash can. I told him he got saved because he wasn't like most kids. Most kids would have thrown it on the ground or stuck it under a pew. But he went around the building looking for a trash can, stuck his head in the Sunday school room, and a Sunday school teacher caught him and led him to the Lord. And he got baptized, and he was in third grade, and I lost track of him because I left that church after a short time. One day he showed up at Cottondale with his wife and two kids. And he said, I saw your name on the sign up on the highway, and I knew there probably wasn't two of you. I wanted to come by and meet the guy that preached when I got saved. And he and his wife and two kids got active in our church. I wish it was like the fairy tales where you could say they lived happily ever after. But unbeknownst to me at that time, they'd had some rough things going on in the home. They drank a lot. They fussed all the time. There wasn't physical abuse, but there was a lot of issues. And she decided about the time they started coming, she'd had enough, and she left him and she divorced him. But Tom kept being faithful. I found in my life most men, that's enough to knock them out. But he kept being faithful. He had to sell his house because they had to split it up, so they sold the house. He got him an RV and put it on some property. He got up close to the church. One day I got a call, Tom's RV's on fire, and I went over there. And you know how an RV, when it catches on fire, there's nothing left of it. He had an old antique pickup beside it and a nice boat beside it, and they both went with it. He came home from work, and I saw him standing there with tears in his eyes, and I thought, this is probably going to be it. But Tom says, oh, it's okay, that's just stuff. I was going to build a house someday anyway, I'll just get started a little earlier. And a church member sold him 20 acres, and he got a bunch of people in the church and some people he worked with, a real successful businessman, and he built a big, beautiful house. About the time he was halfway through it, the company he is so successful at let him go. Probably because he missed so much time trying to be a good parent to two kids with a separation. And I told him and some other men, let's pray. Tom, you're the closest thing I've ever known to a modern-day Job. You lost your wife, you lost your house, you lost your RV, you lost your job. Just a little bit later. Remember the last chapter of Job? That's what's happening with Tom now. I told you that he built a nice new house. He got a better job. He's with a company that's all over the state building big, high-rise buildings. He's the superintendent over it all. And the best thing is, I got a call from him saying, my wife that divorced me and left me, God told me just to be as kind to her as I could. When we exchanged the kids and did all of that, and when I give the child support, give extra. She called me and said, Tom, I'd have never left you if you was this kind of man. Can we give it another try? Amen. And they're still working at it. They're not married yet, but I see them sitting in church, looking at each other like they're in love again. I said, it pays to serve Jesus. But I tell you, most Christians I've ever known would have quit before they got to the good stuff in Tom's place. When the fiery trial comes and when the hardship comes, just keep on doing right. Don't quit. Endure hardness. Hard things happen. One of the hardest things, most people quit church because they get hurt by somebody in the church. Just let me tell you up front, if you're going to quit when you get hurt by somebody in the church, you're going to quit because it's going to happen. On purpose or accidentally. We're all human. We all can be unkind at times. But I want to ask you this evening, what will it take to make you quit on God? I've known so many that got angry at God and quit over so much less than what Tom went through. Would you look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2? Our goal is to be Christ-like, isn't it? To be like Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus had to endure some hardness also. I would never trade my hardness for the hardness Jesus had. But He's our example. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured, there's our word, the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be faint and weary in your minds. Over in Galatians it tells us we'll reap in due season if we faint not. What would it take to make you quit? There's one scripture, a word in the Bible I like that says continue. Just keep on going. Be steadfast. Be like a tree planted by the waters. Worth Baptist Church needs Christians who can endure hardness like a good soldier. God says we're to build our house upon the rock. Do you realize in that scripture they both heard the same preaching? They both endured the same storm. The difference was one was a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And when the storm came, he was secure upon the rock and he stood. I want to be one that stands when the storm came. I want you to purpose tonight to continue no matter what storm you go through. Amen. I told you our veterans have war stories. Our Christians have war stories too. All of us know people who have quit on God. Real quickly as I close, I want to tell you one other story. One of the greatest changes in life I've ever seen in my life was a man named Mike Wheeler. He came in, his daughter was riding our bus. And he was an alcoholic. He was an airplane mechanic, but he said, I'm likely to lose my job. I've been an alcoholic for years, and I've been through the 12-step program so many times. He said, I'm doing it one more time. I want to get it right, and I'm on step number 5. It says, come tell everything. And I told him later, either he's the worst sinner I've ever known, or he's the most honest man I've ever known, probably the latter. But he told me everything. A couple of weeks later, he got gloriously saved. I don't know that I've ever made anybody get saved and changed as completely as him. He went from being an alcoholic to being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, out on visitation, just excited about serving God. A little later, his wife got saved. She's our church secretary for 15 years now, Ms. Nancy Wheeler. One day, we were having a church cookout in October 6 years ago. And I got a call. They tried to call me, and my phone didn't ring. They called Kenneth Ralph, who was my associate at the time. Said Mike was on his way out there, and he got killed in a motorcycle wreck. Nancy was up in Missouri with her parents. Her daughter was wanting to get to her, but we knew she'd hear. Everybody in the country was talking about it. Her daughter tried to tell her, and she couldn't talk, and Tina had to tell her over the phone. We drove up to Tulsa and got her and brought her home. And I still remember what she said that night. She said, "This is the hardest thing I've ever been through." And it was and still is. But she said one thing. She said, "I'm not going to let this be the thing that makes me quit on God." And she hasn't. She's our church secretary, but when somebody calls, even if they're wanting us to pay her electric bill or something, she might say, "I'll put you in touch with the right people, but let me talk to you." And she'll witness to them and pray for them. A wonderful Christian. Isn't it good that Christians go through? We will get to enjoy the blessings of God. We'll reap if we faint not. I love to see somebody who's on fire for God. I love even more to see somebody who's just steadily served God for a lifetime. They've been through fiery trials, and they've endured hardness, and still with a sweet spirit, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand, please, and we'll have a time of invitation. Lord, thank you for the great privilege of speaking in this church. And Lord, maybe there's somebody tonight that just needs the purpose. No matter what comes, I'm going to be faithful, realizing we can't do that of our own energy, but we need your enablement. Lord, thank you for this church. Would you take the words and the scriptures tonight and help it to make a difference in somebody's life? In Jesus' name, amen.